Glad to see everybody out on this snowy night in the Ozarks, I suppose. I don't think it's going to get too bad out there. This is about enough snow for me. I'm ready to go on to spring. I'm ready for spring training already. But that's only if the Cardinals get a center fielder. But right now it's not looking too promising. Hopefully everybody is having a good week so far. You know, we do have a lot of things to be thankful for every day, whether we realize it or not, whether we stop and think about it or not. We do have God blesses us in so many ways each and every day, and it's, you know, I think it's important for us, as the song says, to count our blessings every so often, just because I think if we do that. Probably if we would do that every day, our outlook, I'm not sure that there would be any such thing as a bad day if we actually took some time during that day to do that, because we'd realize that we truly are blessed people. And so one of those blessings that we get to enjoy is that we all have the opportunity to be here tonight. The Lord has provided us with safe travel to the building here, and has given us the opportunity to spend some time studying from His Word together. And so that's what we intend to do here in just a moment. Before we do that, would like to open our class with a word of prayer. There are some that I know would need to be continuing to remember in our prayers. Our sister, I know John mentioned her in his prayer just now, but Barbara Barnes, is, I think she's still having some difficulties up at the KU Medical Center. And yeah, Bill.
Johnny put the address.
There is, for those of you who want to send her cards, there are some pieces of paper out there at the information desk that have the mailing address where you can send her cards that way. For those of you who want to do it the 21st century way, there is, I believe, the e-card system is now working. Johnny, is that right? The e-card system is cheaper. And you can also send more than one, and they don't charge you for that. You know, you can send as many as you want to her, and I know that Van and Barbara would very much appreciate any words of encouragement that you might be able to send their way right now. You know, it's kind of tough when you're a long way from home like that, and all your friends and everything are some distance away. It's always encouraging to get a word from home to make you feel better, kind of pick up your spirits a little bit, and that's a valuable part of the healing process for anybody who's dealing with health issues like Barbara is. Are there others that we need to be remembering in our prayers?
Tina Oram and Darren Wake's dad.
That's right. Leon Wake. It's Tina Oram and Darren Wake's father. He has been in the hospital. I believe he went home today, but he does have an ongoing condition that you know, he's going to continue to deal with, and he's going to have his ups and downs with that. And I know that that Tina and her family would greatly appreciate you remembering Leon in your prayers as well. Yes, ma'am.
Lakeisha Davis is going to have her gallbladder out and another surgery at the same time.
Okay. All right. For those of you who couldn't hear what Ruth was saying, I don't think...
At Cox.
Okay. Makeisha Davis is going to be having surgery next Thursday at Cox. I think she's got a couple of things that they're going to be doing while she's having the surgery done. One of the things, I know they're going to be doing a gallbladder surgery, and then she's also going to be having another procedure done while she's there at that time. So You might be praying for John and the girls that they, need to remember Makisha. I know that she would appreciate that, and they would very much appreciate that. Yeah, Bill.
Kay wanted me to thank everybody for visiting her mom, but her mom has started struggling some this afternoon and thinks that probably she doesn't need visitors for 2 or 3 days now.
Okay. All right. Just to kind of summarize what Bill was saying, again, Kay wanted to thank everybody who's been out to see Thelma. Everything it has been, Thelma has enjoyed that greatly, but she's kind of, maybe taking not doing so good this afternoon, and so Kay was requesting that everybody kind of refrain from visiting for a couple of days, give her an opportunity to deal with that. Anybody? Is that what it is? You're stealing my thunder there, Eddie? Okay, I see how it is. I think, yeah, you are usurping my authority, aren't you? Yeah. Huh? All right. Well, if there's nothing else, then I've asked Eddie if he would to lead us in a word of prayer.
Our most holy God and Father, we come thanking you tonight for many, many things. We know that all good and perfect gifts come down from you. Father, we ask that you would continue with us here at the Watermill. We ask that you would bless each and every individual here at this congregation. We ask that you would continue with the church wherever it may meet this world over. We know that good people are working very hard, and they are laboring in your kingdom. Father, we ask that you would bless and make the reaping great for all those that are working. Father, we ask again that you be with Barbara and Betty that was mentioned earlier. We also ask that you be with Ellie as they continue to heal from things that the surgeries that they've had, and we ask that you be with Thelma as she is nearing maybe the end of her life. Father, we also ask that you be with Leon Wake, a dear friend for many years. There's others that are on our prayer list that we would ask for healing and for comfort. We'd ask that you be with Makisha Davis next week as she goes in to have surgery, and be with the those that administer to those surgeries. Father, we ask that you be with us as we sit in our classrooms and study from your word, that we might gain knowledge. We also ask, Father, that you give us wisdom, that we can discern those things that we've learned. Father, continue with us. Be with each and every one. Give us a safe trip home and be with us as we continue to work in your kingdom. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, and amen.
Thank you, Eddie. All right, we're going to continue tonight in a study that we started last week, and this study is, I've just called it What We Need Most, but it's really a study on the gift of forgiveness. And so we're going to continue in that study tonight. And first thing I wanted to, maybe, there we go. All right. Everybody knows what that is, right? Everybody can see what that is? That's from the Pearls of Great Price. It's a string of pearls, and it's not the Glenn Miller song either, but it's a string of pearls. And what we have here is we have these beautiful pearls, that they are held together. And what are they normally held together by? They don't just stick together. They're normally they're held together by some string or thread that runs through there. Without that thread, those pearls, you know, they might fall to the floor and they could possibly be lost. Well, each book of the Bible, the Bible is kind of like that string of pearls, if you will, in that there is a revelation from God in the Bible. It is a revelation from God that tells us something of His will for humanity. Now, I would submit to you that the thread that is running through the Bible that holds it all together is God's forgiveness of mankind. And that's really what we're looking at in this study together. And so just wanted to kind of put that up there to make sure you kind of don't lose track of where we're at and things here. I'm going to start tonight in Exodus chapter 19. Now, I don't know if you can tell what that's supposed to be in the background of that slide or not, but that's supposed to be Mount Sinai. And so in Exodus chapter 19, we find the children of Israel. They are at the base of Mount Sinai. How did they get there? Everybody remember? Hopefully you remember. Okay. They had been led out of slavery in the land of Egypt. They had crossed the Red Sea under miraculous circumstances. And they find themselves at the base of Mount Sinai. Now, Moses goes up on Mount Sinai, and God says these words to him. He says, Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine. Now, God is talking to Moses here, and he is telling Moses what he wants him to communicate to the children of Israel. And think about the words that he's saying here, what he's really saying. Can you imagine what kind of joy, what kind of feeling would you have in your heart if you were the one who was going to be standing there and Moses is going to tell you, this is what God has said. This is God's promise. He says, if you will obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession. How many of us want to be God's treasured possession? I do. And that's what God is telling Moses that he is going to do for the children of Israel. Now, of course, we know then that Moses goes down to the people. He goes back up on the mountain. He goes down to the people. He goes back up. Eventually, he takes Aaron back up there with him. And while Aaron's up there with him, what happens? Yeah. We all know what happens, don't we? These people that God has said, you shall be my treasured possession, they exchange that relationship for a relationship with an idol. Now, we have to be kind of careful, you know, because it's easy for us to say, you know, how foolish can you be? But quite honestly, guys, it's very easy for any one of us to fall into that same thing, Because there are still lots of idols around today. It may not be a golden calf, but there are still lots of things that can become idols in our lives if we allow them to do so. So we have to be kind of careful not to throw stones, if you will, at the Israelites here, because it's very easy for us to do the same thing. But God established this covenant relationship with the children of Israel at Mount Sinai. He gave Moses the Ten Commandments, which one way of looking at the Ten Commandments would be is they describe how people are to act if they are in a relationship with the Holy God. Sort of like the promises, the vows that you made in your wedding ceremony to your spouse. When you said those vows at your wedding, you were making a commitment. You're saying, this is how I'm going to behave in this relationship. Is it not? And that's really when God gives Moses the Ten Commandments, that is, in a manner of speaking, that is what he is giving to the children of Israel. He says, this is how you will act in this relationship. And he says, if you will act in this way, this is what I will do. You will be my treasured possession. You know, God walked with the Israelites because they were in a covenant relationship with him. How did they know that God was there? There was a cloud right there at the camp. A cloud guided them through the wilderness. Their relationship with God was also to be a light to the nations. In Exodus chapter 19 and verse 6, God goes on to say, he says, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel. So it's interesting here because God says, you will be a kingdom of priests. I'd never really noticed that and thought about that a whole lot because, you know, we have a tendency to think about when we get to this part of the Bible that, you know, we think, well, God appointed the Aaron and his descendants to be the priests. And that is a true statement. But God is also, he also says right here, he says, you as a nation, you are all priests. Now, how can that be? Well, I think that it can be that way because they were not chosen for their benefit alone. But rather, they were blessed to be a blessing. And so they, the entire nation, they were to be priests, or another word you might use in place of that would be mediators, between God and the rest of humanity. That is really what God was telling the children of Israel here, is you are going to be my mediators with the rest of humanity. Now, if you take that forward, if you go to the New Testament, 1 Peter, I believe, says we are priests. We are blessed with a blessing. What is it? Are we blessed just because? What are we supposed to do with that blessing? We're supposed to share it with other people, are we not? We are to share that blessing with other people. We are now mediators between God and the rest of mankind everywhere we go. Have you thought about yourself as a mediator? You are. That's one of the responsibilities that we have as Christians. And we have that responsibility because of the forgiveness of our sins that we have through Christ. Now, the story continues. Moses and Aaron are up on Mount Sinai. Moses and Joshua, thank you. Sorry. They're up on Mount Sinai. The people worship the golden calf. What's that? Yeah, Aaron had made it for them. That's right. This is the man who later becomes the high priest. But the Israelites, they choose a relationship with this lifeless idol over a living God. And in so doing, they realized, again, that God is a God of justice who punishes sin. They were punished for their disobedience. It's interesting because up until this point in the book of Exodus, even with everything that had happened in the book of Genesis, going all the way back to the Garden of Eden and Adam and Eve, this is really the first time in the Old Testament where forgiveness really comes up. It's the first time where the words are really used for forgiveness. And that's not to say that forgiveness didn't occur in earlier times. But if you stop and think about how the world had gone from the time of Adam and Eve, you know, there was, we read in the book of Genesis how after Adam and Eve, God cast them out of the garden. He cast them out of the garden for their own good. Because what was it they had the ability to do at that point after they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil? At that point, they could live forever. They were made in the image of God. They could have lived forever in a sinful state. So in reality, it was an act of grace by God to cast them out of the garden to begin with. To keep them from the tree of life where they could live forever if they ate of that tree. And the human condition didn't necessarily improve from there. In fact, it got so bad that, you know, God flooded the earth, and there were a total of 8 souls that survived that flood. I said, I'm starting over. And ultimately, it was a descendant of Noah, Abram, that God made the covenant with, that now he is fulfilling with the children of Israel. But here in Exodus chapter 32 and 33, this is really the first time that we see the real concept of forgiveness brought to light. In Exodus chapter 33 and verse 3, 32 and 3, God is talking to Moses here, and he's telling him, he says, depart, go up from here, you and the people whom you have brought up out of the land of Egypt to the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, to your offspring I will give it. He says, I will send an angel before you. And then it says, on down to verse 3, go up to a land flowing with milk and honey, but I will not go up among you, lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people. What is God saying there? Okay? Bill says they couldn't survive in the presence of God's holiness. And I agree with that. I don't know that it's really this way, but first few times I read that, it almost sounded to me like God's like, you know, if I stay around you guys too much, I'm just going to put an end to all of you. Is almost what it sounds like. But, I mean, and you can clearly see God's anger toward them for what has happened. Even after he has said, I'm establishing this covenant with you, you are going to be my treasured possession. And then you go off and worship a lifeless idol. How dare you? So there is God's anger here, but there's also his mercy in that he says, yeah, I'm angry, but I'm going to send my angel, and he is going to go with you. Yeah.
I think it's helpful to use the word wrath instead of anger.
Wrath, okay. Yeah, yeah. I don't know if you could hear what Bill was saying or not, but he said this is, it's maybe a better word is wrath instead of anger, but this is God's wrath being demonstrated here, and yet he's doing this. His wrath is part of his nature, but yet mercy is also part of his nature at the same time, and so he's balancing the two of those out.
The reason I say that is in the New Testament, when we get to Romans, and Paul is going to speak to us about the gospel being the power of God to salvation, and then the first thing he talks about is the wrath of God being revealed against all ungodliness. In this situation here, if a stiff-necked people tries to keep company with a God who because of his own holiness, part of his nature is to consume
evil. Yeah, evil, yeah.
They'll be the object of that wrath.
Exactly. Exactly. What was the reaction of the people to what God told them? They were brokenhearted. The scripture says that they mourned. It says that they mourned. Why did they mourn? What were they mourning about? Was still, God said, I'm still going to put an angel. I'm going to send an angel with you. But why did they mourn?
The wrath of God.
Well, because of the wrath of God? Okay.
Well, I think too they remembered how God had stayed with them, and they had been so foolish. And they hurt him with what they did.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Gail. I think it was a situation where they realized how badly they had hurt God in the relationship. And so they did not want the land if God was not going to be there with them. And so Moses, sorry, Bill, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
And there are two things that God didn't like. And so they didn't realize what they had done until God told them what they had done. And we have the same golden calf today.
we do still have golden calves today. And, you know, and it is possible for us to do things that are contrary to God's will, not knowing at the time that it is contrary to God's will, but when we're made aware of what God's will truly is, then the critical thing is, what do we do about it then?
We've got to pay attention to what we're doing.
We have to pay attention to what we're doing. That's right.
What if they're out here in this terrible wilderness without the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire?
Yeah.
Who's leading them? Who's protecting them? Where are they getting their food and their water?
That's exactly right. I mean, these people, they were totally dependent upon God for their existence. God was the one who had led them to where they were at. How many of these people had ever been there before? You know, and I guarantee you there wasn't a guy, there wasn't a man in the children of Israel who was willing to stop and ask for directions. Hey, now, I'm not lost. I just don't always know where I'm at, you know. But the people, they were very much dependent upon God's presence for their daily existence. And in reality, so are we. So are we. Moses takes his tent and he sets it up outside the camp and he calls it the tent of meeting. Why did he set it outside the camp? Okay. That's where God was, wasn't it? He said, I can't stand in the midst of you anymore. So he goes out to the tent of meeting, to his tent. And in reality, yeah, I knew that was going to happen. In reality, it really is almost symbolic of the relationship between God and Israel at this point in time, is it not? God's like, I can't be in your midst. So Moses takes his tent outside of the camp. God can stand to be there. So Moses meets with God, and the people, their reaction is very interesting. What do? They stand, they're all standing at the doors of their tents, and they're looking, watching what's going on out at Moses' tent. What are they looking for? They wanted their relationship with God to be restored. You know, so they know Moses is interceding with God on their behalf. And did God have to grant Moses' request? No, he did not. And so their very existence is hanging in the balance here. In Exodus 33, starting at verse 8. It says, whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people would rise up and each would stand at his tent door and watch Moses until he had gone into the tent. When Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. And when all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would rise up and worship, each at his tent door. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses returned again into the camp, his assistant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. And Moses intercedes. And he says, Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. So Moses, he is interceding on behalf of them. He says, if your presence will not, in verse 15, he says, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. God honors Moses' request and even gave a glimpse of his glory. Moses put himself on the line for the people. And he asked God to forgive the people, or, as we talked about last week, to either forgive the people or to strike his name from God's book. So God listens to Moses' request, and he grants his request. And he gives the commandments a second time, the Ten Commandments a second time. Why a second time? All right, because the first set were broken. But as God gave the commandments the second time, he emphasized that he forgave them and was willing to stay in a covenant relationship with them. Moses asked God to pardon their iniquity and go among them again. And what was God's answer? He went with them, right? But that is really, guys, I mean, that is the forgiveness of God in action. Now we're going to, next week, I'd intended to get into the day, start talking about the Day of Atonement, but as is the case a lot of times on Wednesday nights, the amount of time you have varies from week to week. So, no, not going to be talking about the red heifer tonight, but. But thank you all for your attention. We'll pick up with the Day of Atonement next week.